Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go again. John, are you there?
Sybil is here, darling.
Sybil, I'm so sorry. I have to tell you. Oh, good Lord. We have been kicked off of the network, Sybil. But we are recording.
Oh, well, let's stop so we can talk. So we're on the air right now.
We are on the air. I don't know what's happening.
Okay. Well, then that means people can call in. Okay. Well, we had a Darlings at Home. This is Sybil Brunson on Come Now, Don't Sulk. We had a little glitch at the beginning with our home blog talk radio network. Apparently was down for a second there technologically. And so we weren't sure we were going to be broadcasting. I'm not quite sure what's going on. I'm not sure if it's the Saudis. I'm not sure if it's Julian Assange. I'm not sure if it's Mark Zuckerberg. I don't know what is happening. But for a quote-unquote first world country, the United States seems to be having an awful lot of technological problems. I heard while I was traveling, by the way, this past week, that Facebook had completely crashed at some point because you were all messaging each other about that. I think while I was in Texas or Tennessee, and I was having my own technical problems on my phone trying to take Tourette's and then share them to Facebook, and that was not going well at all either. So anyway, bonjour mes amis, comment ça va? I hope we're all ça va bien-ing very, very well tonight. I'm going to say a special hello to my wonderful producer, Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking. A little confused.
It's very funny because normally you're very echoey when we're talking to each other from the sound booth and from my studio desk here high atop the Chrysler Building in the revolving ballroom of the Cafe Berlin. Thank you for asking at home. Yes, we're high atop in the tower of the Chrysler Building and with the pointy little windows. And Gwendolyn is in the recording studio with all the technicians. Usually you're a little bit echoey, but tonight you sound like you're in the next room. You sound like you're actually on – like on an extension of the phone. Why is that so clear tonight?
Well, because we're using the headset.
Ah, well, we really must. You know something? We're going to have to speak to the dressers and the prop ladies and all of the people on the staff and really get this ironed out. It's wonderful to be here with all of you at home tonight. I want to remind you that our sponsor and Gwendolyn Holdenberry's company is called DaughtersOfISIS.com. That's DaughtersOfISIS.com. There's no relation to ISIS, either ISIS in the Mideast or ISIS here. It's the real ISIS. It's ISIS, the goddess, the Egyptian goddess. DaughtersOfISIS.com, all one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. They specialize in hundreds of products that are consciousness expanding, soul expanding, spiritual expanding, emotion expanding, and what we really need in Washington, D.C., intellectual expanding. I wish Gwendolyn would work harder. She's extremely talented, but I think we all must scold her once and for all. She has been procrastinating on making a nice fragrance which could be shipped or even gassed into the White House secretly and increase the IQ of our current president to at least an 11. I'd like to have him – I'd like his IQ to go above a flatworm. I don't know. Gwendolyn, I love you more than anything, but I speak for the entire nation when I say you're procrastinating. Your great wisdom is not being put to use on this project. Please do so, stat, as we used to say in hospital.
Gwendolyn, I can tell you, when I
make you laugh, I feel so nice. Gwendolyn, when I make you laugh, it makes me feel so nice. What leading lady does not want to make her producer chuckle, that deep, hearty chuckle? I love that. I'm going to give myself an A-plus today, just like our president gave himself. Our president gave himself an A-plus on his performance. I'm the best president that ever lived. I'm the best president that has ruled the United States over the last 3,000 years.
Gosh.
I am the best king on this planet that ever lived. And he gave himself an A-plus. And because I made you laugh, I'm going to give myself an A-plus there.
Well, you're making a lot of people laugh because you have a caller already. And I don't recognize
for heaven's sake. It's probably the White House. All right, I'll take that call. You know, we haven't even gotten to our subjects yet, but I'm thrilled. I'll take the call immediately. Hello, caller. Who is this?
208 area code.
Hello.
Hello.
I don't think we have the caller. Is that the caller?
The caller is there, but they might be just listening to the show. You can do that.
Oh, I see. All right.
Folks,
by the way, I'm going to give you the phone number. You don't have to call in to listen to the show. You can listen to it on the link on the Facebook page. Go to Sybil Brunson's Facebook pages, any one of them. You can go to Come Now, Don't Sulk. You can even go to the Lollipop Guild. All of the pages have the link listed there. And the phone number here is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Gwendolyn, straighten this out for us. When someone calls in, but they're not speaking, they don't tie up the lines. We have enough lines so that people can call in and still speak to Mummy, even if people are calling in listening. That's right?
Absolutely.
Great.
No problem. You've got another caller, a brand new one.
Okay,
right,
I'll take that one.
Okay,
thank
right
you.
There. Right here in New York. Just a minute.
Who's this caller?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Sybil.
This is Sybil Brunson. Who's this?
Hi, it's Stephanie. How are you?
Stephanie, how are you?
Stephanie. Good. We used to come see you call bingo at the church.
Yes, I know. And I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be able to do your office party.
Why not?
Oh, wait a minute. Is this Stephanie? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was Stephanie who called. I got callers at home. I got a phone call from a viewer who came to my shows all the time and asked me if I could do their office party for the Christmas party coming up on December. And I am not able to do it. It's because of a health emergency in my family. Not my own, thank you. Please don't send flowers.
Oh, thank
just
you.
Send
Good.
Cash.
Goodness.
And
okay.
Stephanie,
Good.
How are you? How are you tonight?
We are great. I am great, and I've been following
you. You're in Norwalk,
travel.
Aren't you?
No, I'm in New York, Staten Island.
Oh. So you used to come to the Greenwich Village Center bingos?
The church bingos.
Oh, the church bingos. My gosh. You know, I've done so many shows for so many different organizations. You came to the church bingos. Oh, my God. That was
Bradley was the moderator.
Of course, Bradley.
Yes.
Yes, the Metropolitan Community Church, which I think is one of the best. You know, that was one of my proudest things to help on and to help raise money for. The Metropolitan Community Church, for people at home who don't know, is a non-denominational church. In Midtown on West 36th Street, right near the entrance to the tunnel. It was not a glamorous neighborhood. It certainly is now. I mean, my gosh, when we started there, it was a little bit of a sketchy neighborhood. Now, of course,
sketchy,
it's been completely
right. –
oh, yeah, it's been taken over completely. They're building 80-story buildings all around that area right now. That has become the new chic residence and commercial area. It's just astounding what's being built.
Well, maybe the
from
church
the river
can
over.
Sell the air rights. If the church wants to make money, they'll sell their air rights.
Is that what it's going to do?
I don't know, but they should.
They should, absolutely, because that metropolis that they are building over the Hudson Yards, again, for people at home around the country, well, even for New Yorkers who don't know their own city, they are building one skyscraper after another over those Hudson train yards on the West Side Highway, and then extending over from 12th Avenue to 11th to 10th to 9th. And it is absolutely a new skyline. Friends of mine who just visited New York from Ohio came into the city, and they said that when they flew in, they were stunned as they flew over the city because the skyline has changed everywhere, but nowhere more dramatically than there. That was just warehouses. That was where the old Tunnel Disco was. That was where Les Mouches and, oh my God, all those clubs were in that forlorn area of the city. And now it's becoming these glass towers that are piling up on each other. The High Line is partly responsible for that. The MCC is only two blocks from the High Line. So right. It's amazing how that's developed. Stephanie, what was your favorite night? Do you have a favorite memory of the bingos that we did at MCC?
Well, you did. Yes. Well, we came for the Halloween one, and you wore the pumpkin outfit.
That Mother Goose pumpkin with the spider webs all over it and everything.
Yes,
that's a wonderful outfit. That was made by Gethel Tefish, the hefty Highness Hideaway designer, you know, who designs clothes, chic clothes for people who put on a few inches in the midsection. And Gethel is very talented at disguising a little avoir du poids, as we like to say. Those were great. We did all sorts of wonderful bingos there. And again, the Metropolitan Community Church, MCC, is not only non-denominational, but they have a shelter there for teens at risk. And I think that of all the charities I've ever done fundraising for, and there have been many over the many, many years, the decades I've been doing shows, the thing that I was most proud of was that shelter took in kids who had run away from home or had been thrown out of their homes for being LGBTQ and transgendering, that some of those kids were actually, you know, trying to figure out how to raise enough money to go through the transformation to transgender, and with none of, you know, Kris Jenner's, you know, fortune and support structure, with none of that, it's just amazing to me that, you know, there are kids that are thrown out of their homes even today. This far into the 21st century, they're at such risk. And the stories that these kids told were terrible, that many of them had been molested by relatives. They had been assaulted by high school kids. And they were literally on the street. And MCC takes them in and takes them into the shelter right on the first floor of that church there at MCC on West 36th. It is certainly a wonderful organization. And Reverend Pat is terrific, a terrific person, a terrific woman, and her staff there, Bradley and Mel and all of them are just, I can't praise them enough for what they've done over the many years they've been working there to help a group of kids who are the most disenfranchised. Mm-hmm. You talk about, you know, marginalized people. Those kids are absolutely on the edge of the edge of the edge. These kids are not just in danger of getting HIV and AIDS, they are in danger of being mugged or murdered. Some of them were very young, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds. It was really startling, you know, that they had these stories and these lives and could find shelter at MCC. And I really can't congratulate everyone there enough. And I thank you, Stephanie, and the people that you came with to bingos every month. We did a monthly bingo there, and we were, you know, trying to raise money for that. It's,
well, thank
I'll
you.
Tell you
very much, Sybil.
You know, you know what they say about you're doing God's work? They were literally doing God's work. They were literally doing God's work. There was nothing, there were no frills, you know, there at all. This wasn't like, you know, high society things up in Connecticut. This was really on the edge. I mean, the only way it could have been more on the edge, I suppose, is if we were doing it in South Bronx or in Bedford-Stuyvesant. You know, this neighborhood was the first time my friends came to my first night there when we premiered, and we weren't sure it was even going to be successful. Bradley and Mel, who were the first people to do this with me and put it together and offer it to Reverend Pat, when we first did it, they were like, okay, so we're just going to do it. We're going to do one, and we're going to see if it goes anywhere. And it did, and we did another. But my friends who come to my shows, when they came to that one, My friends are lovely, and my fans are lovely. But there are some that are very much like Eulalie Shin from The Music Man, you know, the mayor's wife. It's like, oh, Silver, I can't believe you're doing something here. This is a giant hole in the ceiling here, darling. And they came there, and when they walked up to the building, I think one of them even, like there was a group of 10 of them, one of them told the story that when they walked up, they addressed one of the kids out in front and said, excuse me, young man, we're looking for Sybil Brunson. Is she milling about here in an alleyway or something? I'm sort of trying to find her. And they directed her, all of them, to a staircase that's right out of Chorus Line, up the steep and very narrow staircase.
Very steep
and the staircase
and
went up to the third floor. And there it was. We were doing in the lounge there and in the, you know, the sort of the office's lounge, wonderful reception area on the top floor. We had it set up for bingo with a set and all of the props and the scenery and the people and everything.
And
they were
prizes,
flabbergasted.
Amazing prizes. Yes, very lovely prizes too. People would donate the prizes and do a great job. So.
Oh, yeah, they donated
really
wonderful prizes. Bradley was the rainmaker. You know, in show business, we call a person like that a rainmaker. Bradley would go out and find the most amazing prizes and gift certificates and things. They were incredible. And then we did art shows there. They did art shows there with local artists, and artists would donate their pieces as prizes. And that was amazing. I have the fondest memories of MCC, the Metropolitan. Stephanie, thank you for
thank you,
Sibylline.
Have a very lovely, happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, same to you. You know something? I'm going through a very dark time right now with a lot of different things. And that was, Stephanie, you just gave me the loveliest little gift with a bow on it. It's like, it was like, what? Talk about something to be thankful for. Thank you for doing that and bringing that memory to
me. Thank
you. And the Halloween dress. Thank you for bringing that to me, too.
Yes, the Halloween dress, of course. Well, have a lovely evening, and thank you.
You too. You too.
I will
give my love to everybody too.
Now. Okay. Bye.
Okay. that was a wonderful time that Stephanie brought up. That is just terrific. Do we have another call?
Not yet. We're still
okay, then
hanging
I'm gonna address I'm going to address some issues. You know, folks, at home, if you would like to do something different for Christmas and different for the fall, but definitely presents for Christmas, either to a loved one or to yourself, I can't recommend enough. Go to daughtersofisis.com, check their online catalog. They have wonderful, wonderful treats, all sorts of great things that you should explore, the descriptions of each item. It's terrific, terrific. And I can't recommend enough thinking of doing something more interesting and more fascinating and more sensual and sensory encompassing than some gifts, some essential oils from daughtersofisis.com, especially one of Gwendolyn's special recipes. She has some incredible recipes of some new products. So check that out for a Christmas present this year. That would be something really, really wonderful. And I carry a bunch of her products with me all over the country. Speaking of which, I was, as you know, I was down in Florida. And then I went to Texas, I went to Dallas and Houston, and I went to Tennessee, I went to both Nashville and Memphis. I went back to Memphis, which was wonderful. I'm going to just mention a couple of things. There were so many topics that we could talk about. First of all, I'm glad that so many people voted. There's so many things that we haven't been able to address. I'm thankful for the turnout. I'm thankful that the elections in Florida and Texas were as close as they were, although they didn't turn out as much the way many of us would have hoped they had. The very fact that they were close indicates two things. First of all, greater voter participation across the board among gays, lesbians, African-Americans, Hispanics, young people, old people, poor people, everybody, activated women, women who are not sitting in their country clubs and sort of coasting along. All of those different people definitely turned up to vote, and they voted. And all I can say is that I'm very thankful that the elections were close. I'm grateful for three things. I'm grateful that so many people from the blue side of town, the blue side of the scale, got into Congress. I'm just thrilled, and I'm thrilled that there's a couple of them that are still being counted and finalized. I'm grateful that the elections that we did lose on this blue side of the scale were close. I don't think there was anything that was a landslide, and the fact that they were close, again, meant that people turned up to vote. And it also, and I'm sorry to lend a sour note to this, but it indicated that if there was chicanery, if there was malfeasance, if there was mendacity on the right, on the red, that there were enough votes stolen that made those elections close. So it was that they had to ensure that they won by tampering with voter rolls or with people showing up or buses being emptied out or just stealing votes or burning paper or whatever was done. Ballots that had certain contests in the lower left-hand corner where the machine couldn't read them. These stories are as old as the hills. As far as I'm concerned, they date back to Al Gore and 2000. So I'm not going to go into that, but I am grateful for that, and we didn't get to talk about that. And there are so many things to be thankful for, and we should be making a list of thankful things right now, with Thanksgiving coming. Thanksgiving is much more encompassing now than just a bunch of pilgrims, of which Mummy is one. Mummy was related to a couple of the pilgrims. So for those of you that are wondering, I was related directly to Miles Standish. My grandmother was a Standish, literally, and I also was related on my grandfather's side to Bradford. So I date back all the way to the Mayflower, and I make no bones about the fact that when the pilgrims came to this country, they stopped in Provincetown at the tip of the Cape, and then half of them went on to Plymouth. They decided that the Cape was not auspicious enough, and they decided through their Native American guides that there was a mainland across Cape Cod Bay, and they were going to sail there, which they did do. And apparently they did it in the fog and slammed on their brakes and crashed into Plymouth, as opposed to what would have been Boston or Beverly or any of those places, Waltham. They crashed right into Plymouth and settled there. The term pilgrim is very appropriate for them. The pumpkin dress that Stephanie was referring to, that wonderful, fabulous, festive pilgrim outfit, is what the pilgrims began wearing in Provincetown, hence the incredible gay culture there and the art culture that bloomed there. The rest of the pilgrims, who were very somber and grim, went on to Plymouth, and they were all pills and certainly grim. So, and that's why whenever you see paintings of pilgrims, they're always in those black sort of dour black and white outfits. And the women are all cinched up and in sad bonnets. And so I've written about this extensively on my Facebook pages. And I hope that you check in on my series this month, which is called Sybil Brunch. It's a whole month of Thanksgiving, which was like Halloween, 31 days of Halloween. Well, now we're in the Sybil Brunch's whole month of Thanksgiving, and I've written several stories there. Do we have a call or anything I should know about? I'm going to remind everyone the phone number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. So do feel free to call in. Okay. I love the way the operators used to do that. 323-784-9639. I'll connect you. Sybil Brunchen is on the air. I'll connect you.
My first job.
Yes, my first job, too. Back in Flintstones days when we did it like with two conch shells and a string. I would like to address something. I'm not gonna go down Sourpuss Lane, but I am gonna mention something because I spoke to Gwendolyn about this. I got the loveliest note from someone today on my Facebook private messages, and it's a guy that engages with me all the time on Facebook and likes things and comments and does all that. And he's very polite. He's one of those people. He's one of those rare people, by the way, I'm going to scold everyone, who actually reads things and then puts like or love or, thumbs up or whatever. I don't understand why people read things and then don't acknowledge that they read them. I'm not Meryl Streep. As a quote-unquote celebrity on Facebook with, you know, 5,000 friends and thousands of followers and several pages. And I not only wish people happy birthday and send out birthday messages to all of you folks with pictures and captions and stuff, but I like your things. I like, or I send a heart when you tell me about, you know, your kitty of 21 years has passed away. I not only put a heart there or a sad face, but I also write you something. When you tell me about your promotion at your job, I like it. And now that we have the heart, I put a heart there. I never read anything on Facebook, ever read anything on Facebook without acknowledging. And you people, for the most part, never post anything on my posts. You never comment on my posts without me acknowledging that I've read your comment. As a matter of fact, if you have written something on one of my posts as a comment, and I have not liked it or acknowledged it somehow, thumbs up, heart, laugh out loud, those things, it means I haven't seen it yet. And that's because my Facebook page is almost a full-time job for me. Okay, so I am extremely engaged, not only as a person, but as someone with like a lot of stuff going on. I try to engage. I wish I could say the same about you, because my 5,000 friends don't. Back to this fellow who will remain anonymous, because his heart was in the right place, even though he broke my heart. he said, "Dear Mummy, I've been watching your Tourette's, and I saw you go to the museums and to the rodeo area and the cattle thing in Fort Worth." And he mentioned all these things. He said, "I watch you all the time." And he said, "But I'm also friends." And then he mentioned some other performers on Facebook. And I'm not going to give their names because it will sound sour. But a couple of them have been on Broadway, and a couple they're drag performers or nightclub performers, or their followings and their numbers are no bigger than mine, though, interestingly. Because I went to the pages to check out what he was saying. I've known them for years. It's a small family, it's a sorority, and we know each other. So when you go to see shows with, you know, Charles Bush and Lipsinka and Head of Lettuce and Lady Bunny and you name them, we all know each other and have known each other for years. Mummy has known them especially because I'm older than several of them and have been around longer. So I see their things, and Mummy, I'm curious. And this is where as I was reading, I bit my lip because I knew what was coming. Being old gives you the opportunity to be ready to get the sliver when it gets you ready to stub your toe. And he said, "I don't understand. When so-and-so posts something, a photograph, 400 people like it. And he gets 350 comments. When so-and-so posts an announcement about a show he's doing, he gets, you know, 250 likes and, you know, 250 comments. What are you doing wrong?" "What are you doing wrong?" And he said, Tourette's. "You actually do videos. You do videos around the country. And four people like it, and then two people make a comment, and one comment is stupid." like the Debbie Downer comments that I put. By the way, those Debbie Downers that you people think are so funny, those are not really comments from the crowd. Those are ones that I've riffed on. So I've made, when you read my Debbie Downer thing, like, do you get a Debbie Downer on your page? I do too. Here's 10 Debbie Downer comments. I wrote those to make you laugh. The Debbie Downer comments I get are not funny. So if they were funny, I would think that they were funny. You know, even if they were oblique or tangential, I would think they were funny. The ones I really get are not funny. So anyway, apropos of that,
you do have a caller waiting, though.
Well, okay, I'm gonna just want to finish this story, though.
The
wrap up of this is, what am I doing wrong? And I just want to say that you this fellow made me feel like the mother in the sitcom who's working a job, doing the laundry, washing the dishes, changing the baby, and making dinner and getting everything ready for dad as he's walking the front door. And the little boy comes up to his mother and says, "Mommy, I have a question. Donnie's mother is always so pretty. Why aren't you like that?" It's like, well, you're right, honey. I'm too busy doing this other stuff, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't know why I just posted 20 Tourette's and got 11 comments, but someone can take a picture of themselves on their staircase and pretend they're, you know, a movie star and make a funny comment. It's very cute, very funny, and hundreds pour in, hundreds of comments pour in. I don't know what the secret is.
Mommy, you know that they pay to boost those out. And unless you're paying to boost your specific articles or posts out, it's a toss-up how many people will see it right away. In fact, I have comments that come back to me on something I posted 3 weeks ago because it's only then getting into one person's feed or another. So
yes.
It's about money.
Well, I take that into consideration too. And of course, when a comment comes up, I mean, I get comments on my stuff from 5 years ago. You know, suddenly a story I posted 5 years ago will suddenly come to the top of my feed, and you know, so and so from Wisconsin liked your story, and there it is, and there's the new comment that's, you know, 10 minutes old, and the comment before that is 4 years old. Yes, I take that into consideration. It's still, and I thank you. I thank you, Gwendolyn, for that. But it still isn't what this fellow pointed out, which is that there are other people who post a picture of them baking brownies and put a comment, you know, a caption under it, and they have 200 likes within 10 minutes. I don't know what it is. I do know that my crowd doesn't seem to be as engaged, which is the new internet term, as so they don't respond or do things the way other people do. I don't know what that is. Perhaps some of these celebrities are sending out $5 bills at Christmas time in Christmas cards to hundreds of people. I don't know. Mommy can't afford that, though, but thank you for asking. All right, let's take our caller. I look forward to that. That'll make me feel nice. Hello, caller. Did our caller give up? Who is it?
This is Kim Young from Kansas.
Hi, how are you?
I'm calling to say Happy Thanksgiving, and you are one of the things that I'm very grateful for. So thank you.
And you're one of the things I thank the world for, the universe for. Kim, I just want to know, you have a huge following on Facebook and on Twitter. Now, I just have to know, because I was down in Kansas, and I was down south of Kansas. I was in Texas. So I just want to say that I was in Tennessee. I was in Nebraska. I was in I've been all around, and your garden can't possibly still be blooming, because if it is, you need to be burned as a witch. I mean,
I had a heart freeze a couple weeks ago, and I had a few roses that were putting up some new, like five or six more blooms apiece, and they all just, now they're nodding their heads. They never, ever open.
Finally. I must tell you, I think about you all the time, because when I go to these different cities, many of them not only have museums that were built by families, like, you know, local millionaires, especially in Texas, Tennessee. A lot of these museums were built by great old families from those regions, those cities. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the wives not only made the museums their pet projects, but also arboretums and whole gardens and landscapes. I've been to a couple where the arboretums and the landscaping are enormous. But even they, oh my God, even those gardens began to finally say, hey, it's October.
Yeah.
We got to go to sleep now. It's November. I'm sorry. You know, the clematis is just going to have to go now. It can't keep going. And the freeze that we got in Dallas, there was talk there about a revisiting of the dying off of some local plants that were like South Carolina apparently lost lots of palm trees last winter to the freeze that came, where ice was on the trees for a while on the palms, and it just mm-hmm. it wreaked havoc. Houston apparently lost all sorts of trees last winter because ice was, it wasn't just cold,
yeah,
it was icy
worst,
rain that froze, yeah, ice storms.
So much, yeah.
Well, I was going to say that if you were still posting, if you were still posting these pictures of like lily pads and things from like South Africa growing in your backyard, I was going to have you killed, because I just how does Kim do it? Kim is just like a cross between either a saint or the daughter of Satan, one or the other. I mean, the most beautiful plants. I'm convinced that you actually may have one of the most extraordinarily exotic gardens in all of the state of Kansas at this point.
Well, I don't think so. But I do love it. And I've got 8 poinsettias in my living room at the moment that I bought from the university Hort student sale. So that's what's keeping me sunny now.
I love poinsettias. I must tell you, the thing about poinsettias is this. You know, they're the precursor to the orchid. Today, when I was little, to get an orchid, first of all, was a miracle. People didn't give orchids. They cost a fortune. And to get an orchid, a living orchid, not an orchid corsage, that was a miracle. People didn't even know where to buy an orchid. Back when I was young, people gave each other poinsettias for Christmas. And the sad thing about poinsettias then is the same thing about orchids today. People give these plants as if they're, they're disposable ornaments, and when they die, it's just, well, we'll just throw it away. It's like, no, these are living things. The thing for me about a poinsettia is that they're living and they're trying their best, like all plants do, like all beings do. They're trying their best, and never has an organism on this planet been more neglected than the poinsettia. Is there anything sadder than, by January 15th, you're looking in the garbage and all the Christmas trees are there, and tucked in them are plastic pots with aluminum foil crinkled up on them, and dying or dead poinsettias reaching out their tendrils to you saying, please, what did we do wrong? We were brought from the tropics to a freezing cold place and not given water and not given sunlight. And then when you got tired of us, you threw us – first of all, you dressed us in hideous aluminum foil. First of all, if there's a plant god, you as a human being deserve to have your eyes gouged out of your head for dressing us, a perfectly lovely plant and a god's creation, by the way, in aluminum foil. Tinted a hideous color. How dare you? What if we plants, like in the invasion of the Triffids, Day of the Triffids, what if plants crawled out of the ground, broke into people's homes, and took your newborn infant and dressed it in aluminum foil and then left it out in the cold and gave it no water? And you're like out boo-hooing. You took it to my child and you dressed aluminum foil. You didn't give it its juice or its Gerber strained apple sauce. It's like, you're a human. What do we care? We're poinsettias. Screw you. What if plants did that?
Well, now you know we're going to have to keep all these alive till next spring.
You will. And you know what's so effing crazy? I'm not allowed to use the F word. You know what's so effing crazy about you, Kim? You will keep them alive. And not only will Kimberly Young keep them alive, they will probably be like these dense, lovely plant show. They should be like driven here to the Jacob Javits Center for the exotic plant show. You'll take orphan ones and turn them into these exotic, strange, beautiful things, which basically only takes pruning. If you keep them tight and muscular, they're kind of wonderful plants. They're like Christmas cactuses. They bloom coincidentally when it's December. But in the tropics, they don't know it's cold. They're not doing that for Christmas. They don't know about the baby Jesus. It's just a coincidence that they're blooming at that time.
And 90% of the quote-unquote Christmas cactuses are actually Thanksgiving cactuses, but that's a whole other story.
Oh, yes, their bio clocks have gone completely off. That's a good point. Their bio clocks have been completely thrown off by mad scientists who have dialed their clocks so they would become Christmas cactuses, when in fact they're Thanksgiving cactuses. Exactly.
The common name for two different species from the same genus, they're all from the Schlumbergerige genus. There's the truncata is the one that has all the hybrids, that they're the white and the pink and the orange and the yellow and purples. And those are actually the common name is Thanksgiving cactus, but 90% of the world calls them, or the United States calls them, Christmas cactuses. Then there are Christmas cactus, but they're mostly the traditional red, and they have a very smooth leaf. the rounded leaf, whereas the truncata has the serrated edge, which is the telling point.
Boy, I hope you listeners at home, I hope you listeners, you don't give a damn about mummy, but you're getting science and class and charm from Kim. She's not only like, she's got this wonderful little musical voice, and she's a registered nurse, a nursing specialist, but then an award-winning nurse on top of that. But then on top of that, she not only is a brilliant gardener, but then she's able to tell you the science, the genus, and everything about the family and the order and all of that behind the species. By the way, Kim, you know this, right? Because you're a nurse. When I was in biology class, because I was going into pre-med when I was quite young, and I thought I would be an open heart surgeon. And my biology, I was a great biology student. I will never forget that the first thing I ever learned in biology class when I was quite young was kings play chess on fiberglass stools. And that was the acronym for kingdom, phylum, class, order. Kings play chess on family,
yeah,
genus.
Yeah.
And species. Isn't that funny? The first letter, the first letter in each of those becomes King's Play Chess on Fiberglass Stools. And that was how you could remember each of those things for the classification. I loved learning that. I love learning kooky stuff like that. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
You know, speaking of poinsettias, because I'm glad you brought that up. When my first trip to Hawaii, which was years ago, long before Pearl Harbor, I happened to be in Hawaii, and I will never forget when I first got out of the biplane that I landed there. You know, it was a two-person biplane, and we made quite a long flight. And when we got there and landed, I will never forget the first time I saw poinsettias growing outdoors. And poinsettias were in people's yards. That wasn't the miracle. That wasn't the miracle. The miracle was that the poinsettias that we raise to be killed in, you know, Midwestern dentist offices, and we wrap them in aluminum foil to humiliate and degrade them. Those same poinsettias that are dying right now are the same poinsettias that grow in people's yards in Hawaii, except they grow to be 30 feet tall. Poinsettias are trees. And I will never forget when I saw these wonderful bungalows with poinsettia trees growing in the house was in the shade of a poinsettia that was 30 feet high. It was like, oh my God. And when you see that much of it turning red at Christmas time, it's like a miracle. You look up and you go, oh, this is punching so many different sensory memories. It's like, wait a minute, as a New Englander, that's Christmas. That's my dentist's office. But it's towering over a house and it is throwing the house in shade. It's like, oh, it was a miracle.
Wow.
It gave me a whole new appreciation of, and poinsettias everywhere. I saw that over and over again, whole neighborhoods with poinsettias growing beside plumeria trees and gardenias and jasmine. But a plumeria tree dwarfed by a poinsettia next to it. I could not believe it. Oh, so interesting. You know, Kim, I would love for you and me to go to Hawaii and be able to look at plants there. And we would take Gwendolyn along because then she could be, you know, picking flowers and making essential oils out of plumeria herself, which would be fabulous.
I actually have frangipani all around me.
Are you joking?
Florida. Oh, I'm in South Florida.
Oh, my God.
We have
I'm trying to save my gardenia. My gardenia, which is out on my deck, which is in all my Tourette's for cherry grove. I brought my gardenia in and it survived last winter being very poorly taken care of by a friend, sort of. But it survived and it thrived this summer. It didn't bloom again, but it thrived. And I brought it. I decided I was not going to leave it out there. My one heartbreak is that I wasn't able to bring my Mandevilla in, and I'm hoping that a friend of mine out on Fire Island who lives out there was able to take my Mandevilla and put it in his heated shed for the winter and maybe save it because it was absolutely breathtaking. And this little, I'm hoping this gardenia is going to last through the winter. I'm going to try and keep it moist, keep it bug-free, give it enough light, enough warmth, but not too much, and see if I can bring it through.
Eggshell.
So, Eggshells. I did that. I've ground up eggshells and I put those in my orchids and in my cycads too. I've got eggshells in everything right now for calcium. Yeah, I've done that. And I'm giving them slow growth fertilizers and everything. I'm trying to do everything. I've done everything but give them Jack Daniels or Heineken beer. I mean, there's so many different, you know, home things of like, your orchid wants a beer, you know. Your fern wants cat urine. It's like, oh, for heaven's sakes. So I'm trying. So especially with this travel that I'm doing, I'm trying to make sure that my super keeps my orchids going. And he's done a fairly good job of it, my beautiful orchids from Gabrielle and Sarah. Little Sarah and Gabrielle gave me orchids, and I've been keeping them going beautifully. I've got to do a Tourette's about those orchids, too, because I discovered a way to keep orchids alive that's quite wonderful. And I didn't know it years ago, and now it's turned the corner for me completely on orchids. My orchids are thriving because I did something very simple, very, very simple. So I'm going to
definitely
do a Tourette's.
Definitely
tag
me in that one.
I will indeed.
Okay.
Do you have any? Do you have anything you want to tell us, Kim, about Thanksgiving? What are you thankful for, other than me?
Other than you, well, my daughter recently became a foster parent of two girls that are 3 and 5 2 weeks ago, and it's been very heartwarming and quite eye opening for her. So, yeah, kind of excited about that for her. And,
that's very exciting. That's very exciting. Congratulations on that.
But I just want to call in and say happy Thanksgiving. And you probably need to get on to a different topic and a different caller. But I love you so much, and I'll speak to you soon.
And Gwendolyn and I love you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Happy
Thanksgiving
Day.
Yes. Good night.
Gwendolyn?
Yes.
Do we have another caller?
Not right now. We did for a few while you were talking, but they rung off. It's my experience. They call back once you get off.
I got a note from somebody just now who said, I like the Did You Know sections of the show. I like when you do the Did You Knows. And I used to put that in my newspaper articles too. Did You Know? Sybil Brunchen's Did You Know? My Did You Know tonight is a cute one, and it's one that I had to use today when I was doing laundry from these trips. I happen to be doing laundry, and although I do it in the hotels when they have laundromats there, so I'll do my own laundry. It's a chore that I actually love doing. As you all know, I love washing my own dishes by hand, and I love doing my own laundry. And if I won the Mega Millions, if I won the $1.6 billion that lady or whatever in South Carolina won, I probably would still do my own laundry and my own dishes. I might have somebody else do my vacuuming for me, as long as they didn't break things. But I like putting my hands in water and washing dishes. I like washing my own clothes. And I was doing a load of laundry tonight, and I had taken a washer. I walked away from the washer when it was on the wash cycle, and I came back down to the laundry room in my building, and two of the washers were in the spin cycle and doing perfectly, and the third washer was not. It was wobbling, and it was doing the laundry lambada, I call it. And I've actually, if you go to Sybil Says, by the way, boys and girls at home, if you go to SybilSays.com, that's SybilSeez.com, and SybilBrunchen.com, you'll see articles and posts and stories and funny things there all over the place, many of which will go into the cookbook. Once I can raise enough money to do the cookbook, I'm going to do that. I did one called the laundry lambada. I actually wrote one of these blogs for the newspapers, and this is what you do. When you do your laundry, if you're one of those people that does your own laundry, always take two face cloths, clean face cloths with you to the laundry, or take two dish cloths with you, or take two big puffy socks with you, okay? And take them to the laundry with you and do this. Gwendolyn, are you doing the dishes? What's going on back there?
Oh.
What's that clicking? Oh, it sounded like someone was doing tap. Anyway, let me just tell this because I want to make sure I get this in. This is an amazing tip. Take a dish, two dishcloths. I'm sorry, what?
Wrong sound effects.
take two dishcloths or two socks, and when the washer is wobbling, wedge one of those, fold it up, and wedge it between your washer and the washer next to it. And
oh.
then, okay, listen carefully. Then take the other one and wedge that one between your washer and the washer next to it. If it's loose, then fold. What was that? Are we on? That was weird. Somebody, it sounded like somebody cut in. If make sure that you fold the towel or the face cloth or the sock enough so that it really takes some effort to wedge it between the washers, your washer that's wobbling and the one next to it. So it becomes a shock absorber. And what it will do is it will hold your washer steady, steadier than if it was just resting against the other washer. When they install washers, they install them, and they're supposed to all be against each other. But sometimes they wobble loose, and you've got like a quarter of an inch or a half an inch between the washers, and that gives the washer enough room to go into its laundry lumbata, to go into its cha-cha routine. But if you put a shock absorber between your washer and the one next to it on both sides, again, a dish towel that's been folded up and slid in there, and or a face cloth right on the corner, right in the front corner, and right on the front corner against the other one, you'll be shocked. It will immediately steady the washer, and the washer will stop wobbling, and then it will begin to speed up, and it won't do that awful thing where it's the tilt thing comes on the screen, and the tumbler inside is wobbling, and then it slows down and the laundry falls to the bottom, and then the washer tries to reapportion the laundry around and speed up and speed up and speed up and speed up, and then it's wobbling again, and then it stops, and you're watching, you know, a disaster, because all your other washers are done, but that one washer, you go to it, you open it, and it's gone through the rinse cycle, it's gone through the softener cycle, but the laundry is sitting there in the bottom, absolutely drenched and not possible. It can't go into the dryer because it literally is sitting in water. So do that. I did it tonight. One of my washers went out, and I slid that. I had the two dishcloths the way I always do, two clean dishcloths I take down with me, and I folded them up, and I put them on each side. And within 8 seconds, the washer straightened itself out, fixed itself. It was balanced again, and it was able to spin properly. So try that and see if that works, okay? Good,
Mommy,
good hint,
one
isn't
more
it?
Call.
Oh, I'll take it real fast.
Okay, 513 area code. Hello.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Who's this?
Hello, Sybil dear. This is Steve Roussos from the Queen City.
Steve, how are you?
Fine, my dear. How are you?
I'm good. Are you getting ready for Thanksgiving?
Oh, I'm trying.
Are you going to cook?
We'll see what happens, as What's-His-Face likes to say.
So you haven't bought a turkey
probably,
or anything yet?
No. I live by myself, and I tend to celebrate holidays just with, oh, thank goodness, I don't have to do anything. And this year, unfortunately, my pet sitter is kind of laid up with some medical issues and is not going to be able to come over and take care of Parrot Peppa and Tiger Cat Sherman. So I'm probably going to miss it, and she should be better by Christmas, so I may go up to Youngstown for that then. So I'm just going to relax and watch football and hang around the house with my kids. So the reason I called.
Well, you know something? That can be nice, too. That can be a lovely thing.
Yes.
You know, they're your family. They're your family.
That's right. They're my family, and I'll give them some
And when I look at Sherman, when I look at that Sherman, I'm telling you, he reminds me of my orange kitties. You know, that's wonderful family. To me, that's fabulous family, because my kitties were,
yes.
you know,
yes,
they were the world
and
to
I'll
me.
I'll even seek out some turkey-flavored treats for Sherman if they exist. We'll see.
And by the way, you could have some yourself. You know, Steve, darling,
yes.
remind me to tell you sometime, and maybe I should put it in one of my memoirs, of the Thanksgivings when Mummy was very poor, much like Auntie Mame, only really poor. Like, not Auntie Mame poor, where she kept the house in Beekman Place. I'm talking about really poor, when the cats and I shared the cat. cat food. And that was Thanksgiving when I learned to saute cat food and put some sliced, some diced onions and garlic into it. And it wasn't turkey.
Oh.
I think it was liver treats or something. And Bunny and Gideon both looked at Mummy very, very askance. They were like, what the hell is going on? She opened a can of cat food. Now she's scooping it into a frying pan, and she's stirring it around. And the thing that was terrible was they were kind of angry. I gave them some of the cat food and saved some for myself. And then as they smelled it, I made the mistake of giving them each a bite of my cat food, and they were spoiled.
Oh.
They wouldn't eat cat food anymore out of the can.
Oh,
they expected me to prepare it and to saute it, to caramelize it. You know, all these Cooking Channel people are like, well, first of all, the heat caramelizes the meat. It's like, oh, that was – Bunny and Gideon were caramelizing kitties from then on. They wanted their food heated. They wanted it caramelized. A hint of onion, garlic was also fun. A mirepoix, if I was to put carrots and celery, you know.
I'm amazed that they liked, even tolerated onions and garlic. That's kind of astounding.
Well, I mean,
I
didn't hammer them with it, Steve. I didn't hammer them with it. But, I mean, it was a subtle addition, and they grew to like it. I mean, there's all sorts of YouTubes of cats and dogs eating vegetables and all sorts of strange things.
Right.
Isn't there a YouTube out about a kitty that eats bananas all the time? There's something like that.
I'll have
to
look that up.
Cats that take baths.
Yeah, I'm really lucky with Sherman because he doesn't seem to like anything much other than his dry kibble, which is a special formula, Hill's Science Diet Metabolic Plus Urinary, to keep him slim because he's a real ravenous chow hound. And that's all.
Uh-huh.
He likes that and the various, you know, dry treats like Temptations. But he doesn't really like wet food, and he'll occasionally eat if I have some chicken, unadorned, no sauce, no nothing, just chicken, roasted white meat chicken. He'll eat a little bit of that, then he'll go, all right, wait a minute, this isn't my kibble. So I don't have to really spoil him. He seems to absolutely adore that particular food. So I don't. He's
being
not very
a, being
the
a cat.
The reason I called
being
before
a,
we run out of time is orchid.
Yeah.
I just posted to Lollipop Guild a picture of this absolutely gorgeous orchid. I buy them all the time at the stores. As you were saying, they used to be ridiculously unavailable, but now they're cheap. They figured out ways of growing them on mass. $14,
right.
And it's this gorgeous thing. It's got three flower stalks, profuse with flowers. I've had it 6 weeks. I give it three ice cubes every week, like they say, a little bit of orchid food now and then, and a nice bright grow light right down on top of it. And not one bloom has even begun to wilt, which is unusual. This is a particularly hardy plant, apparently. But my question is, how do you get them to rebloom? I hear them say, well, when the stalk is done, clip it on the bottom just above the soil, and it may rebloom. Bloom, but I've had ones for a year that I've kept done all those things with, but not a hint of a new stalk coming up. It seems
okay.
Like they have to be grown in a specialized greenhouse.
Right. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm not going to be able to answer that because it does take a little bit more, but I'm going to do it as a Tourette's. I'm going to tell you one thing, though, right now. Do not do the ice cubes anymore because ice is cold, and it also is chlorinated water. You will find that your orchids will be thrilled even more than they already are with distilled water. And a gallon of distilled water is $1.50 or something. It's $1.99.
Right.
Use distilled water and always let it drain out the bottom. Never let your orchids sit in. I'll give you one last thing because I'm watching the clock. Orchids think they're climbing in the trees. Orchids don't grow in dirt. They grow on bark. They literally live on the side of a tree. And what orchids love is rain and fresh air moving by. So they like being wet, but they like to be wet with air moving. So they never sit in water because that's when they get fungus and mold. So get distilled water.
Okay.
Never put ice near your orchids again. Real orchid growers never ever do that because it's cold, it's near the roots and leaves, and it also is chlorinated water. Chlorine is a killer of cycads, ferns. It, when people have their plants die, it's always because they're using tap water.
Good.
And so,
thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I will
distilled
start
water
them and I'll miss them once a day and put a fan
Only Steve. Only on the roots, on the soil, never on the leaves. Because if the water runs down into the leaves and gets trapped there, that's where the fungus begins. Nice as it would be to have them be rained on, you have to remember that on a side tree, they get rained on and the water falls off them and gets blown around. In a house, it has a tendency to sit there. But we'll talk.
Okay.
I've got to close.
Thank you, Mommy.
Yep. I've got to close. Bye-bye. Gwendolyn, thank you for a wonderful week. I will see you next week. And we'll talk to you all next Monday at 8 o'clock. See you then. DaughtersOfIsis.com is our sponsor. We'll talk to you later. I love you, Gwendolyn. Good night.
I love you, Mommy.